We are at the point in the agenda where we have set aside time for public comment. let me first indicate we have, I believe, approximately 6 requests for public comment at today's meeting, but only 1 for the General Administration of Justice, and approximately 4 to 5 for item J. And I'm going to call, is Mr. Eric Christen present to give comment? Mr. Christen? So Mr. Christen is not present, so we will reserve the other 5 public comments when we get to item J. So I ask you to turn your attention to item L, which is Judicial Branch Administration, Judicial Council Delegations to the Administrative Director of the Courts. And this is an action item.
Good morning, Chief, rather than good afternoon. This is item L on your discussion agenda. And before we get into the substance of this report, I'd like just to take a few moments to review how far we've come in such a few short years. Our Chief Justice took office in the beginning of 2011. We were in the third year of significant budget cuts, and a few weeks into office, she was confronted by a very difficult review of our technology project that began, interestingly enough, when she was still a Superior Court judge. Naturally, both the Judicial Council and the AOC were subject to a great deal of examination during that time period. I mentioned earlier, though, that the Chief, as we all know, has been committed to constant reassessment and the deliberative process. She immediately appointed a committee of judges and others to the Strategic Evaluation Committee to study the issues and make recommendations. A year after their appointment, the Evaluation Committee chaired ably by Judge Walkup, came back with 145 recommendations. The Judicial Council reviewed, approved, and directed the AOC to not only adopt but institute those recommendations. As I mentioned earlier in my report, the Executive and Planning Committee was delegated with the task of making sure these recommendations were carried out. One of the principal recommendations dealt not with the AOC, but with the Judicial Council, with its need to take an active role in overseeing and monitoring ourselves and the AOC to ensure transparency, accountability, and efficiency. As part of that responsibility, ENP committed to review the authority delegated to the Administrative Director since the beginning of our unified court system in 1998. And provided its recommendation on those that should, as you'll know in the report, either be continued, modified, or terminated, in addition to identifying those that have ceased to be in effect. This report that you have in your material does that. I would be remiss if I didn't thank Chief of Staff Jody Patel, Chief Counsel Debbie Brown, Nancy Spiro and Nancy Carlisle, and all of their staffs for the tremendous, and I can't even probably add high enough for all of the hours that they have committed to this. So I, again, want to thank them for their support that they have provided us and, in reality, for their dedication over this last number of months in making this a reality. I would also like to acknowledge the terrific support and understanding we have received from the Administrative Director, Judge Steve Jarr. I know Steve understands the delicate task we were faced with. Before he became our director, he was a trial court judge, a presiding judge, a council member, and one of the early pioneers of our unified court system. And as a result of our many discussions over this process, I know that he understands the need for and is committed to judicial council governance. He understands transparency, flexibility, and efficiency. And again, he understands the need for accountability by the council and its staff agency that he oversees, the AOC. So with that background and introduction, let me get into the report. And again, please don't hesitate at any time to ask me questions. I'm kind of glad that Ira Kaufman's not here, because I know that would want to needle me.
Oh.
And I hope he's listening.
He left me notes.
Our recommendations for the 100 delegations that we reviewed are presented in the attachment to the report. And they're divided into 5 categories. First, those where we don't believe any action is necessary. Those are items that have been completed, superseded, or expired. 2, recommendations for those that should be terminated. 3, recommendations for those that should be maintained without any changes. 4, recommendations to maintain with some modification. And then lastly, the category where we recommend that they be modified. Our recommendations, as you can see in the report, are summarized in 7 different actions. And here they are. Number 1, allow to lapse without further action the 33 delegations that E&P has determined to be obsolete because responsibilities have been completed, superseded, or expired. 2, terminate without further action the 21 delegations that E&P has determined are no longer relevant to achieving the outcomes or council directives for which they were intended. 3, continue the 26 delegations recommended to be maintained without changes. 4, modify the 20 recommendations recommended for minor or substantive modifications. 5, refer the 2 delegations referencing the 100,000 litigation settlement authorization level that are recommended for review to the Litigation Management Committee for the committee's consideration. Those are numbers 82 and 85. 6, 82 and 83. Thank you. 6, refer the 7 delegations recommended for modification that require related changes in the corresponding California Rules of Court to the Council's Rules and Projects Committee to oversee the rulemaking process for further recommendations on rule amendments, numbers 86, 87, 88, 92, 93, 97, and 98. 99. I can't even read. Hey, you know. Number 7, direct the administrative director of the courts to maintain an ongoing central list of active delegations. In the interest of time, I will resist going through the entire report because it would take about 18 months, but we'll highlight examples of our recommendations. For the delegations that E&P recommends termination, some have been superseded by new responsibilities or council directives. Some duplicate authorities that are already stated in the California Rules of Court. Some no longer have a purpose relevant to AOC operations. For example, we recommend eliminating delegations that allowed the administrative director's authority over certain budget-related decisions in instances where the delegations were superseded by later council actions or they simply no longer apply to current circumstances. For the delegations that E&P recommends modifying, E&P found some to be worthy of more oversight and monitoring by the Judicial Council or some consultation with an advisory committee. Some needed to be brought up to date with the changes that have been made in the Council's organization of its advisory committees and other developments. For instance, on delegation number 94, we recommend formalizing the necessary consultation with the Court Facilities Advisory Committee to ensure coordination and accountability for decisions taken to implement site selection and acquisition for all construction projects. Finally, the delegations that E&P recommends maintaining in many cases relate to business routines important to branch operations or direct services in supporting the trial courts and that help provide consistency throughout the state. As an example, delegation number 59 gives the director the authority to work in collaboration with presiding judges and court executives to prepare, maintain, update, and distribute the trial court's records manual, which provides standards and guidelines for creation, maintenance, and retention of Superior Court records. This service provides support to the courts and provides consistency in record keeping. This was a long process, an important process, a significant process, and the continual evaluation that we have started from 3 years ago in performing our Judicial Council oversight and accountability. and I am proud of the work that has been accomplished by executive and planning. I am very, very proud of all the time and effort of staff. I can't tell you how many times we met, how many times we had further requests for them to do something else, to look at something else. This involved an incredible amount of research just to find some of them and then to look at what had transpired in 14 years to determine whether or not they should be maintained or terminated. Again, it is very significant, important in our role as Judicial Council members to perform our oversight and our role as Judicial Council members for the branch and the public. And so it's something, quite frankly, that I am proud of what ENP has accomplished and what all of us have accomplished. I'm open to any questions. I have Jody Patel here and Nancy Carlisle, who were instrumental in this. And between the three of us, I think we can hopefully answer your questions. But I'm not telling you not to ask questions, but I think the report is very thorough in the process that we went through.
Judge Rosenberg?
I'd like to, first of all, commend the Chief for launching this process and Justice Miller for overseeing it. He's a very detail-oriented individual, and I know this was a lengthy and difficult process to get our arms around all these ancient delegations, but it's remarkable that that has not been done at an earlier stage. I agree with the recommendations. I have one question. In your first category, you have indicated you want to allow to lapse without further action 33 delegations. I frankly would rather see Category 1 and 2 combined. Rather than allowing them to lapse, I would terminate. It's a more forceful, definitive result. So instead of having 33 allowing to lapse and 21 being terminated, I would recommend we change this to 54 being terminated.
That's fine with us.
Okay. So this is a substitute amendment?
If this is a motion, I would move an amendment to combine categories 1 and 2, and as to those 54 delegations, the council would terminate them.
Thank you. I see Judge Walk up second.
I just wanted a comment, but I didn't know I was going to get to a motion that fast. Can I throw in a comment?
Of course you may, of course. This is just the amendments on the floor. Feel free, please.
Well, I just think from an SEC perspective, this was fabulous, this type of review. And if you, take a step back and you look at what's happening yesterday and today here with the review of CFCC and then, again, with the delegations today, it's easy to, focus on one agenda at a time. But if you look at the whole picture, the mantra of the SEC was transparency, accountability, and efficiency. And we're seeing those components of evaluation of the Administrative Office of the Courts and Judicial Council and the branch as a whole coming together with these pieces. And I just think it's exciting. I'm encouraged.
Thank you, Judge Walker. That means a great deal coming from the chair of the SEC. Thank you.
It's a cool thing.
I had an idea that it would be in the end, but I had my doubts in between.
We debated if we should use the word groovy in our report, but hey, cool is okay.
Judge McCabe.
Thank you, Chief. First, I'm going to second the motion. It's a motion as amended, so it's blended together.
It's a motion to amend.
To amend, and 1 and 2 only at this point.
Thank you. And then 2, I had the same observation as our the SEC chair. It was just the process. We thought it was a due time. I will note in some of my travels in talking to Judge Jarre's counterparts from a number of other states, that they are both awed and frightened by the prospect of what our chief singularly in the United States has done. They marvel at what we have done. They think they need to do it, but they just can't bring themselves to do this. And so they, I hope this comes off as complimentary because I have a bad way of saying things sometimes, But Chief, this is truly extraordinary. It's unique. It is unparalleled anywhere in any state in the United States. And so we are very proud of what has been done. The SEC members who are on the council have spoken both in meeting settings and privately, and we are very pleased with the process. We still think that the AOC is overly optimistic in its timetable, but we cheer you for the collegiate tribe wanting to get it done sooner than later, but please take your time to do things right the first time instead of rushing things. And so I proudly second this motion.
Thank you, Judge McCabe. And I've said it before, but it always bears absolutely repeating regularly, in that none of this could have happened without the 55 weeks of volunteerism that the SEC members put in without staff, in such a collaborative way to hear from everyone this report. It was an important, brilliant, necessarily brutal for us to look at ourselves in this way. Thank you. Angela Davis.
So, of course, I agree with all the positive comments that have already been made this morning. I also think that the chart of the 100 itemized delegations and when they were issued and the context and what is going to be done with them now has relevance way beyond the motion that's on the table today, and even way beyond the SEC report. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that there's 15 years of institutional knowledge that are synthesized beautifully in that chart. And I would, if I were a new council member coming on today, I would love to have that, just to refer to it and have this institutional knowledge that I wouldn't otherwise have. And I would encourage the council, particularly people who are in charge of orientation for new council members, to hang on to that chart and make it available to new people coming on to the council.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela Davis. And as you know, that's the work, again, of our incredibly hardworking and gifted AOC staff members. Commissioner Alexander.
Mine isn't directly related to Jez Rosenberg's comment, but I just noticed a couple of things. In item 6, it refers to the things that are referred to RuPro. And I believe number 85 says refer to RuPro, and it's not in the list.
Okay.
And the other question I had was with regards to number 95. The proposed change is add a provision to specify how and when the ADOC will provide reports. Do we want to leave it that vague or set a time frame, because the other ones do say like annually or quarterly or something else?
We can add annually to that.
I just think it needs to be more specific.
Okay, so two things. I think, Commissioner Alexander, you're saying that number 85 needs to be referred to RuPro. So that means separate and apart from Judge Rosenberg's amendment. Where's the RuPro? It would be under you're asking to amend 6, and also number 95, as you've indicated, with an oral amendment that's to make that an annual report. That would, for lack of a better place to go, I'm thinking that would go to item number 7.
Could I get a clarification?
Yes.
Is there then, this is Rosenberg, there then a typo in number 6? It asks about 7 delegations. Are there really 8 delegations that are being referred to RuPro?
Yeah, if we add 8.
So there are actually 8. Okay.
So there are two different motions, substitute motions, referring to items 1 through 7. So I'd like to take Judge Rosenberg's motion first, as seconded by Judge McCabe, as indicated, to essentially terminate 54 delegations, which would merge items 1 and 2. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Then Commissioner Alexander's motion to amend number 6 and 7 of the recommendations, making 8 delegations to RuPro, that would include delegation number 85, and number seven, that the number 95 have a time frame to be annual. Is there a second?
Second
by Jim Fox and also Judge Morrison. Any further discussion on that? Not hearing any. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. So the recommendations have been amended, and they're still open for discussion on any or all of those, including a motion to accept and pass these recommendations as amended.
I'm not sure we actually need a motion because it's a – is this the report of the committee, the E&P? So that's on the floor. We can just vote on their report.
So the recommendation is E&P recommends Judicial Council approve the recommendations in attachment number one that have more specifically items one through seven as amended. And so
formalistically, Chief, just so the record is clear, Judge McCabe speaking, I'll move to adopt the council adopt the E&P's recommendation.
Second. Thank you. Seconded by Mark Robinson and seconded by Judge O'Malley. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.